Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Planning for Retirement. I'm Scott Nelson, and here with me is my lovely youngest daughter, Elise Zaris. Hi, Elise.
Hi.
So what we're trying to do in these episodes is provide some brief explanations of different financial concepts to try to help you on your retirement journey so that can be all it can be for you. So what question do you have for us today?
Yeah, so I thought today we could talk about different tax advantage vehicles or strategies when it comes to retirement planning and what to keep in mind when thinking about taxes in the future.
Okay. So let's talk about taxes. So there's income taxes, of course, and that's going to be the main thing that I'll talk about today as we talk through things. Because the estate tax, the threshold for estate taxes is now, I think, $15 million. And if you set up a trust so that you have each spouse able to take advantage of that, that means there's $30 million in assets that wouldn't necessarily be subject to estate tax. So the majority of people that we meet with, that estate tax is not a worry. But on the other side of that coin, the majority of people that we meet with have most of their retirement savings in what we will refer to as tax-deferred vehicles. So things like 401ks, 403bs, 457s, IRAs, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. And so the deal that we have with the government with those types of vehicles is that you get to not declare the income you're putting in. In other words, it's going in as before taxes are calculated. So it's pre-tax contributions. And then those are able to grow tax deferred. You don't have a 1099 each year for the growth. But when you start taking distributions from those funds, it's recognized as ordinary income to you. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on how much you're needing to take from there. Each of us in retirement, well, a lot of things change, right?
Yes.
So while you're working and putting away, you've got a lot of deductions that you're able to take advantage of. For example, the money that you put into your retirement savings pre-tax, that reduces your taxable income. Children are awesome. They're not only a tax deduction, but also tax credit. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. Your mortgage interest, charitable contributions, and so on. But once we've achieved retirement, the house is usually paid for, the kids are raised. You're not contributing to your retirement accounts anymore. You're taking from them. And charity, for most people, changes from a cash contribution, typically, to time. And, of course, the IRS has no price on the form there for how many hours you donated to whomever. So even if tax brackets don't change, you've lost a lot of deductions. The one deduction you do have left is the standard deduction. And if you're over age 65, then there's an additional standard deduction that you can take advantage of that's temporarily larger thanks to the One Big Beautiful Bill. That said, that means that there's a certain amount of your income that you can take from your tax-deferred accounts, and the tax liability will be wiped out by your standard deduction.
Right.
Now, if you think about that, you didn't pay tax on the money you put in. You didn't pay tax on the growth. And if you haven't, if you're only taking out what your standard deduction will wipe out, you never pay tax on those dollars.
Trifecta.
I mean, you can't get better, in my opinion. But the IRS isn't going to let us have more than a certain amount. And then if you're a person that is fortunate that still receives a pension in retirement, that pension's going to gobble up a big chunk of your standard deduction. So for people who are pensioners, frequently the ideal amount to leave in your tax deferred accounts is zero because you don't have standard deduction left to wipe out the tax bill. Now, if we can, I'm not being political, I'm being mathematical. The deficit that the nation's government's willing to recognize is approaching $40 trillion. Depending on which experts you want to listen to, there are some threshold there where we just can't repay anymore. Nobody will loan the country more money anymore. Check it out. The country's credit ratings have been downgraded a few times in recent years. So at some point, we're going to have to pay more interest and have less credit extended. And then what's going to have to happen? Well, to my way of thinking, if you've got a gap in spending, and this is true of your personal finances as well, but for the government, there's only two levers you can pull. You can either cut spending to try to close the gap, or you can raise revenue. That translates as raise tax rates in order to close the gap and become solvent again. I'll leave it to you to guess which is more likely. But if you have that much money in tax-deferred accounts, then you're not really sure how much is really yours, because if the government raises what they're going to charge in taxes on those dollars, that means less of it is going to end up in your pocket.
Right. And so realistically, you're making, you know, a 401k or IRA, wherever you have your dollars, you're making a deal with the government that when you do decide to take distributions from those accounts, they get a percentage. We don't know what that's going to be, but as Scott was saying, it is going to be higher taxes in the future. It just has to. And, you know, they've tried to decrease spending, but that only puts, I don't even know if it helps really, but it's something that you just don't know. And so we do suggest to people who are contributing to a 401k or a like vehicle for work, if your employer is matching, we always say do it. But now most employers offer a Roth option. So you can contribute to the Roth. And so you pay the tax now when you know what it is. What do you say? You pay on the seed and not the harvest. And so that's a one suggestion that we do make to people who are contributing. You know, just switch it to Roth, pay now, so you don't have that burden later on of not knowing. And then those who do have enough income, they might have pensions, they might have a VA disability or just other income that they don't necessarily have to take those distributions. You do become a certain age and then the government requires you to take them because they're going to tax it. So
they want a shot.
Yeah.
They want a shot. So in terms of tax advantage places, ironically, tax-deferred accounts can work up to your standard deduction. You can have those dollars come out tax-free. All of the different Roth type of accounts, and we now have more Roth options than ever before. Roth IRA, of course, Roth 401k, and now there's Roth 403b, Roth Simple IRAs, Roth SEP IRAs, and you, of course, can do Roth conversions. And so depending on your circumstance, there's actually, if you think taxes are going to go up, mathematically ideal balances to have in your tax-deferred account. And that is such that your RMD is, the tax on the RMD is going to be less than your, well, your RMD amount's less than your standard deduction, basically. And then everything else we want to try to get to Roth. Well, sometimes that doesn't always work. And so there are other things that could be considered. Certain cash value life insurance policies work extremely well as a Roth alternative. Tony Robbins, in his book, Money Master the Game, calls these tools the rich man's Roth. So if your income thresholds are beyond what the IRS allows you to contribute to Roth IRAs, you don't have those restrictions with indexed life insurance policies. And so you're able to use those. And those come in handy for other reasons too, in that they can provide long-term care benefits should the need arise and so on. So
I do believe there's other, there's certain annuity products that you can do partial Roth conversions within them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are all or nothing to convert, but there are some that do allow for piecemeal conversions. So if you ever have questions, I mean, we're happy to go over those with you. And
We pay good money to have some nice calculators that will allow us to run the math for you and identify what would be the ideal balance and how much to convert to Roth in a given year. We want to pay as little tax as we have to, but get it done as quickly as we can and set things up so that you can, I don't want to say set it and forget it, but not worry about it in retirement.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, thank you.
There you go. So traditional up to your standard deduction, Roth conversions, Roth 401ks, Roth IRAs, indexed universal life insurance as Roth options to be tax-free in retirement, so you don't have to worry about what the government does to fix their problem.
That's great. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.